challenging Bill 24.
We've got a June 30th deadline by which, under the current laws, the schools have to sign what amounts to kind of an attestation saying that they're going to comply with this legislation. And if they don't tick off the box, they're going to lose their funding and accreditation.
On the feature today, lawyer John Carpe, on his first court appearance, challenging Alberta's controversial new education law. In the news, Trinity Western University is reviewing its options in the wake of this month's Supreme Court ruling, a look back at a sad anniversary in Canadian jurisprudence, and an update on We Need a Law's summer billboard campaign.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Trinity Western University continues to evaluate this month's Supreme Court of Canada decision on its application to open a law school. The court ruled that law societies in BC and Ontario were justified in refusing to admit graduates of that proposed school to the bar in their respective provinces because the university's so-called community covenant, under which students and staff pledged to only engage in sexual activity inside the bounds of heterosexual marriage, was discriminatory against the LGBTQ community and was thus a violation of so-called charter values. Janet Epp Buckingham is with the university. She's been part of the group spearheading the effort to start up the law school.
When the decision came out on June 15, we just looked at it and said, well, that's the end of our dream for a law school. Assuming that the university would just remain as it is, and the law school was then off the table. But, you know, in reviewing the decision, it's very narrowly focused on the mandatory nature of the community covenant. And so one of the possibilities that the university could consider would be to make the community covenant not mandatory. There are other Christian universities in Canada that have non-mandatory codes of conduct. It's not just saying, oh, we're going to throw out the community covenant, but you would get at a similar kind of thing, but through a different mechanism of establishing Christian standards, but in a different way.
Trinity has two other academic streams that require external certification of their graduates, a school of nursing and a school of education. Annette Buckingham says that adds a further complication to this discussion.
We have several professional programs that are accredited by professional accrediting bodies, and certainly there have been some conversations already which have been initiated by those accrediting bodies saying, you know, we think that you should be looking very carefully at the Supreme Court of Canada decision, as we are, to determine if that's going to impact on other professional programs.
If the Supreme Court ruling had gone the other way, Trinity was hoping to have the law school up and running by September of next year. She says the deliberations surrounding next steps will likely delay that opening by at least a year if the school does open. A final response to the court ruling could be coming by the end of this summer. June 1st marked the second anniversary of the passage of Bill C-14. That's the law that legalized euthanasia in Canada. Over at the Cardis Foundation, Peter Stockland marked the anniversary with an in-depth piece in Convivium magazine on how the law has evolved since it was first implemented. He says fundamentally the rules around medical assistance in dying continue to be relaxed, as evidenced by some new stats that came out just last week.
There's a 30% increase in the number of medically assisted deaths in the last half of 2017 from the first half. But here's what's interesting. The Health Canada report on these numbers is actually not just reporting the numbers. It's looking at why the 10% that were denied 90% of requests for medically assisted death have been granted, but Health Canada wants to know why the 10% weren't granted. And that's a complete reversal of what the regime was supposed to be. The regime was supposed to be a series of safeguards in which you had to demonstrate that you were eligible. Now it's completely turned around. It's totally upside down. Medicine is now totally upside down.
Stockland says it's hard to know if the government designed the law to create the present situation, but it is important to remember the context in which the law was originally written, a context where the government was under a tight deadline imposed by the Supreme Court in the so-called Carter decision.
The government government's response. And I have to stress, this is not a partisan thing. The Liberals really inherited a mess from the previous Conservative government, which absolutely refused to touch the issue at all. So they had just 6 months in order to come up with this bill. And they scrambled together something that they thought would at least appear to be a compromise, but of course it wasn't. And in the committee hearings that preceded the bill, it was obvious that the bill had been drafted in such a way that it would placate the demanding voices saying more, 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 because they were just going to keep doing it anyway. And the people against medically assisted death, they've lost.
As to turning the tide on this, he says there's a very faint glimmer of hope that things can still be turned around, but it'll require some concerted action on specific cases of euthanasia.
The law is subject to review in 2021. Now, what some people I've talked to have said is there's a practice that's going on here that totally disregards even the limited safeguards that are in. And once those take hold without any kind of prosecution, without any kind of investigation, it becomes almost impossible to rewrite the law. So I think that people who are concerned about this need to turn their attention to saying, wait a minute, this wasn't right. Why is there not a legal investigation going on into this specific case? And to start pushing back on the idea that it's, as some people have said, the wild, wild west out there.
We link to Stockland's full article from the homepage this week. And finally, We Need a Law is getting ready to launch a month-long national billboard campaign to promote the need for some kind of abortion law in Canada. Director Mike Schutten says they're still on track for an August launch.
The original plan was to have the billboards up during the entire month of August, and we had set as a goal for ourselves and pitched that to our supporters that we raise half the money needed, between $50,000 and $70,000. We want to raise half of that by July 1st. And the last report I got was about 2 days ago, and we were close to half that. So it's been abundantly blessed. People are very happy and excited. We haven't asked them specifically to fund an initiative like this for quite some time, for over 2 years, and our supporters are responding in a most positive manner.
The goal is to have about 30 billboards in locations across the country. Back with more after this.
It's summertime, and we're about to enter month 10 of our 12-step action plan for building a relationship with one government official. For the months of June, July, and August, we're working with friends, family, or church members to arrange a bigger, more social gathering with the official. Think barbecue, backyard event, church picnic, etc. Schedule the event in July or August when the official is likely to be in the riding and away from legislative business. For more, go to arbacanada.ca/12steps.
And we're back on the program. A ruling is expected by the end of this week in the first round of a court battle over Alberta's Bill 24. That's the law that establishes gay-straight alliances and forbids educators, both in public and private or Christian schools, from telling parents if their children decide to join one of those GSA clubs. A coalition of parents, Christian schools, and others are going to court over the issue of parental rights that are raised by the bill. That main court hearing is not expected to happen until next year. But last week, the coalition was in court in Medicine Hat, Alberta, looking for an injunction to force the government to stop the implementation of the bill until the main court case is heard. The coalition is represented by lawyer John Carpe of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. I reached Mr. Carpe in Calgary the day after the court hearing and started our conversation by asking him how the injunction hearing went.
Well, it's impossible to say because, judges typically listen attentively to both sides and they don't tip their hat. And even if a judge is asking a bunch of hostile questions and is very aggressively questioning one of the lawyers and saying, what about this and what about that? And surely you don't think such and such. I've often seen that the party where the lawyer gets the aggressive questioning is successful or unsuccessful. There's just no way to tell how things went in court. But there was argument presented that this legislation should be stayed or not be in effect for the next 12 to 14 months until we actually get a full hearing on the merits.
So was there any hostile questioning of either side?
No, not in any hostile or aggressive sort of way. So the judge listened to both sides and said she would be issuing a ruling because we've got a June 30th deadline by which, under the current laws, the schools have to sign what amounts to kind of an attestation saying that they're going to comply with this legislation. And if they don't tick off the box, they're going to lose their funding and accreditation. So this is very heavy-handed. In fact, it's on par with what you'd expect in a third-world country that is not a functioning democracy, where you've got the government basically telling the parties, you know, if you're seeking to assert your constitutional rights and freedoms in court, we're going to punish you by removing your funding and accreditation.
So you made the case for parental rights, but I have to ask, does your approach on a case like this change post the Trinity Western ruling? I mean, TWU basically said, yeah, religious rights are important, but they're not as important as not offending a certain class or a certain subset of society. And it's a real paradigm shift. Did it impact the way you made your arguments?
Well, it didn't impact our legal arguments because the Supreme Court ruling in Trinity Western is so much political rhetoric and repeating of, you know, mindless slogans about diversity and equality. I mean, legally, it's, I tell you, since I went to law school in 1995, it is the worst Supreme Court decision that I've ever read. And not just because I disagree with it, but there's not much legal reasoning in the majority judgment, and there's a complete disregard for the facts on the ground. Now, the impact on Bill 24, you know, legally, there ought not to be any impact because the Supreme Court of Canada was ruling about whether or not law societies have the jurisdiction to regulate law schools, and the court essentially said, well, yes, law societies don't just govern who enters the legal profession, but they can even reach further back into time, and they can regulate law schools. Why that would have any bearing on the right of a parent to know what is going on with their five-year-old child in regard to GSAs and GSA-related activities, I don't know. I don't think so. There shouldn't be any impact. Now, will there be an impact? Well, unfortunately, there could be.
And that's kind of the point. I mean, we can jump up and down all day and stamp our feet and talk about the fact that the Supreme Court ruling on Trinity wasn't based in law, but was rather based in emotion. But the fact is, it's the Supreme Court of Canada ruling. It sets a legal precedent for cases of this type where ostensibly LGBTQ rights issues are at stake. And the court has set the precedent, whether we like it or not, that those rights trump religious freedom rights in the Charter. And that's kind of my question when it comes to things like Bill 24, because fundamentally parental rights also come down to the religious freedom argument and the argument that parents should be free to inculcate religious values to their kids.
Well, unfortunately, what you've just said, I cannot disagree with it. You've got the highest court in the land that makes emotional decisions, ignores the facts on the ground, and, you know, parrots these slogans of diversity and equality without even defining them. And the public interest, holy cow, if you look at how many times the court refers to the public interest, the majority judgment, and not once do they define what it is, not once do they give consideration to the what my argument would be is that the public interest includes upholding fundamental freedoms such as freedom of expression and conscience and association and religion and peaceful assembly. It's in the public interest to uphold these rights when the very purpose of protecting them is to protect unpopular minorities. That's the whole point of the Charter. It is to protect unpopular minorities, which I would suggest evangelical Christians in Canada in 2018 that take the Bible at face value when the Bible says that homosexual lifestyle is sinful. That is an unpopular minority in Canada today, and it's the very purpose of the Charter is to protect unpopular minorities for their right to speak and to practice their religion and to form associations, including not just churches, but including schools and universities and charitable associations. Those are the fundamental freedoms. And the Trinity ruling just turns the Charter upside down and imposes charter obligations on Trinity Western, which ought to be imposed only on government.
Okay, back to Bill 24, just a final question. I mean, we're dealing with timelines here. The court in Alberta is expected to rule by the end of the month on the injunction application. We also have a political reality in Alberta, and that is that by the time the full application on Bill 24 is heard, there could well be a change of government. There have been signals from the Jason Kenney camp that they may make some changes to Bill 24 with respect to parental notification on GSAs. How is this thing ultimately going to play out in the long term? Can you give me a bit of a crystal ball here?
No. It's certainly open to the new government has every right and has the full authority to change the legislation. So if partway through this litigation, you know, let's say there's a court hearing in November and the new government comes into office in October. I mean, if they change the legislation, then the schools would have to decide, are they going to drop their court challenge entirely because they're satisfied with the new legislation? Or if the new legislation was not satisfactory, would they start a new court action against the improved legislation for not being good enough? It's all hypothetical.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. We're watching this closely. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Al. Have a great day.
And just a programming note to close, Lighthouse News is taking the summer off. We're expecting, Lord willing, to have the next podcast online about the second week of September.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action.